Okay, I don't really have anything suggestions now.
Okay.
For the cold open.
All right, you're fresh out.
Yeah, this has been an exercise in terrible.
You, ahead of the show, you generally write down your cold open ideas?
Mm-hmm.
And then
not always.
Okay, so sometimes you just go with a spur-of-the-moment thought.
Right.
Do you, like, if you had a good idea during the week, do you, like, set it aside for next week's cold open?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Usually in my head, and then I forget it.
Okay, so what happened this week?
Hmm. It's a good question. Do you want a medal?
Yes, please.
Hello and welcome to episode 217 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What is going on, Adam?
Not much, man. Podcasting. And oh, Amazon. Amazon's going on.
Amazon is going on. Yeah. Did you buy anything this week?
Did I mention on the show last time? Oh, I did. The barn doors. I bought that.
Yeah.
Bought the barn doors. Oh, my...
You bought the washing machine, no stink.
Oh, the pellets, yeah. The pellets came, so we got that. No, that might be it. Oh, I know I've been perusing. My son, Jack, is having a birthday party coming up. And I'm sure you're going to get into this eventually, but they kind of pick a theme. Like, did your daughter have a theme to her birthday party?
Yeah, it's called All About Me.
Right.
Day 365.
Right. No, but for him, they kind of want, like, oh, I'm going to have a superhero party, or I'm going to have a whatever. Insert the theme. So Jack wants to have a Flash birthday party, and not the camera Flash, the superhero Flash birthday party. Kind of an obscure theme. Yep. So I've been looking on Amazon lately.
Especially when you show up in a raincoat and nothing else.
Right. But I've been looking for, you know, different Flash related items that we could use at the birthday party. So
that's what is the Flash's real name?
Barry Allen.
Is it really?
Yeah, Barry Allen.
Wow, I'm impressed. I did not know that.
Now you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So yeah, we'll just write Barry Allen all over the walls or something.
Sure.
Yeah. No, so I've been looking on Amazon for stuff. Again, even a little too obscure for Amazon. You can find action figures and things, but, you know, we were hoping for something that you could, you know, like a big poster or something. So I had to go away from Amazon because Amazon Canada couldn't find it. I had to go to allposters.ca to find my big
Not a sponsor.
Flash, to buy a big Flash poster. So
I see.
But everybody else should buy all their stuff on Amazon all the time.
Right. And in other countries like America and Germany, actually, it's pretty good. You can find something else I was looking for. I remember I told you about hockey sticks I couldn't find. And there's something else that I went to look on Amazon and could not find. I forget what it was. So it's obviously really good story.
Right.
What did I buy? I think I bought, oh, I bought about a birthday present for friends of ours' daughter. She had her, I'm going to say, 7th birthday.
Okay.
8th, maybe.
And then this isn't someone local, or it is?
Yeah, no, she was local, but they couldn't find whatever it was that she wanted online or in stores. So, boom, Amazon.
So then do you send it to them or to you?
It was to us. We went to the party.
Okay, so
we get to go.
Here's the best thing for a kid, because everybody, you know, brings a present to the party, is... To their house. Kids love mail. That's what I've learned.
Yes, they do.
As my
everybody loves mail.
My time as a parent, though, like they love it. Like they overly love it. You know why? It's a 9 for them. Yeah.
No bills. There's never a bill comes for them.
Maybe, but also just the idea of, hey, something came for you, because it just doesn't happen very often, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the novelty of it as well. But my kids are so excited if something comes in the mail for them. If I handed them an envelope and it hadn't come in the mail, the excitement factor would go down about 3 points.
It's a good point.
I can't explain it. Just it's awesome, and so I'm saying for Amazon,
they would rather get it from some stranger who wears shorts in December.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is, use Amazon to send kids birthday presents to their house instead of to yourself and bringing it over.
That's a great idea.
It's like a present inside of a present.
And then you don't even have to get much of a present. You'd be like, yeah, it's just some tools I needed, but sure.
I need those, by the way. Oh, I'm going to borrow those next weekend because I'm drywalling my basement.
Can I borrow your new crescent wrench? Daddy, why are you drywalling with crescent wrenches? Mind your business. Right. Go back to your Barry Allen party.
Right.
Barry, I can't believe his name is Barry Allen.
That doesn't sound like a fast name. You wouldn't be fast.
Well, maybe it's the opposite. It just sounds boring. It sounds
it's got Allen in it. You're against Allen now?
Yeah, but it also sounds like what they'll do at my funeral. So,
right.
You know, there's that negative part.
Right.
I did some more painting this week.
Okay.
And not watercolors?
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. I work oils. Painting. We're having a friend of ours is going to come stay for a couple weeks.
Okay.
And so we have the downstairs rec room that's just sort of sat because it's not been a priority because it's been winter and kids don't really play down there yet because they're still pretty young. And so it's just kind of sat there. We had never painted it. And then, so now that our friend is coming, it was like, we were going to paint it anyways. It was a good, nice little kick in the pants to get moving. Right.
Right.
So, that was a lot of fun at the hardware store. Picking out the color because I had a color in mind, but here's the thing I've mentioned before: I am colorblind.
Okay,
and so I can see the colors, but I don't always get them right. I'm not good at that. I know it looks good.
Doesn't it say underneath the swatch what color it is?
Yeah, but like I like to have them mixed for me.
Okay.
And so, like, you look at the little piece, the little swatch that they give you, and, like, I don't know, like, I want a shade in between. Do I want it darker? Do I want it less, more red, less red? So I went with a maroon.
Okay.
That's what I went with. And I knew exactly what I wanted. But then you go, like, in this hardware store is pretty cool. Maybe they do it in all the hardware stores, all the paint stores. They had two sets of lighting. Like, you could flip the switch, and you can look at this under daylight balanced lights or under tungsten balanced lights. So you can see the difference.
Right.
I thought that was genius.
Okay.
And probably done at every, you know, Glidden store across the nation.
Did this help in your decision making?
No.
Okay.
No. But the problem is like my wife, she couldn't come to the hardware store because she only wants the white walls as it is. She just wants to paint everything white.
Right.
And so I said, no, we're doing color. So now she leaves it in, you know, here, it's up to you. And now I have to get it right. But good news is, got it right.
Yes.
Point being is that you'll see it's actually going to provide a good photo backdrop.
That's where you're going. It took you a while to get there.
Yeah, it sure did. And all the colorblind part. But then somebody sent me a link that apparently they've invented some colorblind sunglasses that correct colorblindness.
Really?
And that's what I hear.
So you're going to walk around with them all the time?
No, I think I would try them as a, novelty, like just try them out in the store. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine actually, because I've lived my whole life like this and it's not even an affliction. Like it's not even a thing. It's nothing to complain about. Like anybody who complains about being, colorblind has, you know, no other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a thing. I don't even really care except for, I've lived my life like this, and if all of a sudden everything was to be shifted, it would be pretty weird. So I'm not going to go for it.
Glad to hear it, man. Just be who you are.
Well, no, I mean, if you know, you're in a wheelchair and then they invent hair you can walk, that I would do.
Okay.
But colorblind isn't really an issue. I mean, I still stop at red lights and everything. So if that was an issue, then yes, I would take care of that. But something else I mentioned a long time ago on the show, and we never talked about it.
Okay.
Do you have any LED lights in your house?
Do I? No, I don't think I do.
Transition.
I have not for, you mean just for like general light bulb
lighting?
Just
for life.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't think we do.
Yeah. Do not buy any other kind of light bulb. Okay. Go with LEDs at this point.
Okay.
We're almost done shifting the entire house to LEDs.
Yeah.
Wow. I was dragging my heels because, first of all, the incandescents in Germany are like the regular bulbs are like the filaments.
Yeah.
Gone. They're gone. You can't buy them.
Oh.
They're banned. And I was not a fan of that, but I get it. They use a lot of energy, but then you can get these little halogen ones that use a lot of energy, and I don't like those either. But so obviously it was compact fluorescence for a long time.
Yeah.
I hate those. Those are the worst. Like I cannot stand the compact fluorescence. For a long time, I didn't like the color. I didn't like the fact that if you wanted, the light on in the room, you had to turn it on 15 minutes before you went in the room just so it'd warm up in time. So I really hated that. And then LED was the same. LED, when they first came out, they were expensive and very blue.
Right.
And I didn't like that. I was really dragging my heels on that. And then saw one, it's probably been fixed for a while, but I'd never had cause to buy one. And we bought a few. Just regular bulbs.
Did you buy them at Amazon?
No, we bought them. I should have. I didn't know. I never even thought of it. That's terrible. However, bought a bunch, bought a couple, tried them out, and went, wow, they've got the colors right.
So are you buying a specific temperature?
Yes, I buy the warm whites, which they're saying is 2,700 degrees Kelvin.
Okay.
Which it says right on there, 2,700. I'm like, how many people really know? I mean, photographers probably do know what 2,700 means.
Yeah.
Which is slightly warmer than your normal tungsten, which should be around 3,200, give or take. But now I've heard like photographically that there is part of the spectrum missing. And so your pictures don't maybe necessarily turn out exactly how you want them or whatever. But for life, great. Love them.
Okay.
And they're rated, they use like 1/8 or 1/10 of the power. Like it's really crazy what...
And how expensive are we talking about the bulbs?
Not very. Like, you're looking at around $5 a bulb on average.
Okay, but they last way longer, too.
Well, I've had them for 3 weeks, so far, so good.
So far, so good. But they're supposed to last much longer.
They're supposed to, but so are the compact fluorescents, and I've had a few go. So I'm not hanging all my hopes and dreams on that.
Yeah.
I hope they do last longer. That's kind of the idea. But I don't know. I don't know. What do light bulbs cost? Like regular, ones with the filament in them.
They cost next to nothing. I'm going to say, I don't know, half that. $2 a bulb. Maybe.
Oh, I said $2. I said less than half.
Yeah.
But, so for me, it's not a couple extra bucks and, your energy bill goes way down. Assuming.
Yeah.
And the colors are right. So what I'm telling you is I would look into it. You can get them anywhere. Amazon probably. Or IKEA or like a lot of places sell them now.
Yeah.
And they just screw in like to your regular, existing lights.
Right.
Sockets.
I will look for them the next time I'm in the store or potentially Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely check them out. So I'll start taking some pictures with them too. I haven't really done that yet. I haven't bothered. But moving forward, I think I'm going to end up doing that. So love them.
Great.
Last thing before we get on to the next part, black and white versus color.
Yes.
We talked last week. Was it last week? Yes, last week about the photo of my son with his backpack, and I put it in black and white. You said, hey, maybe it should be in color.
Yeah.
So we published it on the Facebook site and asked for some feedback. Hey, what do you like better? I posed the question that way on purpose so that I wouldn't be leaning towards... Hey, everybody, you like black and white, right? I wanted to be unbiased because I was curious just to know what people think. And it kind of, I will say for I'm not going to go back and count them all, but pretty much down the middle.
Yeah, I think there's, definitely different people prefer different things, but we kind of knew that, right? We knew that this is one of those things that you're not going to get a universal opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's art. That's life, right? Everyone has different preferences, but I don't think one is wrong.
Yeah, except for you writing that.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote that again more for fun. And I do prefer the color version of the picture in question. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't seen it in color, right?
Yeah.
And if I could take out your son and replace him with a cuter child, it would be better. No. What I was thinking was when I saw it, because I only saw the black and white version, and my comment was, you know, there's probably some color in the black backpack, and it's going to look really good. And it does, except for the background color doesn't work in conjunction with the color. Mm-hmm. You need if the background was a different color, like a blue, for example, like a really deep, dark blue, like you have in some other places in your house that I've seen in the pictures in mm-hmm. the past, then it works great. But with the, I don't know, is it a brownie, beigey background?
Kind of a sandy color.
Yeah, just it doesn't work with the blue and the color. Yeah. And then that blue becomes too prominent in the picture.
You mean?
Yeah, the blue in the backpack or the teal or whatever it is.
Yeah,
not
okay.
It's coming in teal for me. Right. So I would prefer that if it had a really nice, rich, deep blue background here, then it bang, that color's going to look mm-hmm. great. But as it is, that blue pulls too much attention. I think someone made that comment and I agree with it. But I still do like the color. But again, my comments were made prior to actually seeing what the colors were.
Right.
Right. I was just saying, hey, I'd like some color in this photo. I like it. This kid photo to me would look great if, you know, those colors mm-hmm. were really vibrant. And yeah, if I could pull him out of that background, maybe I'll Photoshop it later and tell you or show the world what I thought.
Or perhaps I'll try to retake it in my new maroon rec room.
Or yeah, maybe that maroon mm-hmm. would look good with it. But
it probably will. Yeah. It's pretty dark, too. I went dark.
Yes.
So that's mostly just so I could take cool photos. Forget the rest of the decor of the house.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot photos one day this week, and it was a weekend, like last weekend. So we do our podcast on the Friday typically, and then on the weekend is often when I take photos. So I did take some photos. We've had some beautiful sunshine and light here lately, morning light and evening light. So there was both. I think Saturday and Sunday here were both nice with nice sunsets. And what I've realized is that in the corridor where I live, there's kind of like where the sun sets, it sort of comes in at an angle that if I stand in front of my house, which are all kind of white stucco walls in our complex, and I position my subjects sort of the sunlight is coming in, but it's not direct. So they're in sort of open shade, except for the sun comes in, bounces off of the white stucco, and then it's basically like a built-in reflector, and then I can reflect it back on my subject. So my parents were here and my kids were around and my wife. And so I saw this great light and I'm like, okay, I'm going to position. We have some nice green shrubs and I'm going to position my daughter here, my son here, my mom, my dad. And I took sort of portraits of everybody. And I knew from the first shot, I'm like, wow, this is a great setup. Nothing required other than stand here and I'll get nice shots. And so I took everybody's portrait. I used the long lens. And it's like, all right, if I see that light just around, I don't know, half an hour before the sun's completely down, it's going to be good every time in this setup. So mm-hmm. I found a new magic spot, so to speak.
And what, especially at this time of year, what you're going to find is the shadows are going to be a little bit blue. The sunshine is going to be a little bit orange.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And so you kind of get that nice sort of contrast that, I mean, until you look at it closely, you see that. But at first you just see, okay, why is that light so pleasing? And you don't even have to be a photographer to just like that light, right? So, new magic spot right out front of my house. So I'm really happy to have found it or realized it. Yeah.
Now, thanks to Mother Nature, that spot may not exist in July.
True. It'll be a much warmer combination. Yeah.
Or it might not even come through. Like just the way the Earth aligns, it might not even come through the same corridor. So
it will be in a different spot. Yeah, it'll be in a different spot. Yep.
Yeah, so that's something to look for. These are situations that I absolutely I love to discover and think, oh, especially when it's close to your house like this, like pretty much, you know, you could shoot this in your slippers.
Yep.
I love that because, you know, you have guests over, boom. Hey guys, come on here. You know,
yeah.
Come on, get your shots. And there's no setup, and it looks better than anything that they're ever gonna do. And it looks like you're out taking snapshots, but you've thought ahead.
Yes.
And you've recognized good light. And like that's a huge, huge step to taking great photos. So.
And the beauty of it is, because obviously it's available light, there's no delay, there's no waiting. Like I think 10 minutes total, I had everybody, my daughter, son, wife, mother, father, all run through. Each took about a minute and a half, and then we're done. And so everyone was happy. And I at least had one of 10 photos of each person that I really liked that I could easily give as a gift or put in a frame. Like it was that easy.
And you're not busy, you know, mashing buttons, hoping the flash balances with anything.
No,
and,
yep. There's nothing. I just knew from the first person, here's the spot, come here. And everyone took a turn. And like you say, 10 minutes, done.
Yeah. And of course, if you could just do this all the time, you wouldn't own a flash. But that's not really the case.
True. That's the problem, is difficult to reproduce this light. And it's just not there all the time.
Right.
That's it. I'm done.
Ask me if I shot anything interesting.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I shot anything.
All right.
We didn't have the good light. We've had the terrible weather continuing.
Right.
Which is awesome because it's like 0 to -2 and snowy rain, and our first exhibition game is next week for baseball. So that's going to be awesome.
Right.
I don't know if you know baseball that well, but when you're playing it in 0 to -2, nobody's having fun.
It's not good. Not good.
Yeah, I will have pulled a hammy for that game and probably stay home.
Hey, I have a baseball-related mention here.
Okay.
Jack, we've signed him up to play baseball in the spring. So baseball starts first year of baseball. So we'll see what it is. I think they start off at his age, like with the ball on the tee for the first half, and then the second half, the coaches start pitching to them.
No. The tee ball's great. I take issue with the blast ball.
Right. No. We skipped blast ball. That was last year. So we said, yeah, we're gonna wait blast ball out. We're gonna go when it's actual games and baseball. And Jack quite likes baseball. But the mention was Jack still brings up the throat shot that you gave him in the summer. Do you want to explain what happened? Because Jack, it's still clear as day in his head.
Yeah, what was happening there?
We were at your house for a barbecue. You had just come back from Germany, and you invited us over for, you know, a nice family get together in your dad's backyard. And Jack, I was tossing a ball to Jack because you have a bat, and he likes to hit.
Right, I have an old wood bat from when I was a kid.
Yeah, so I was kind of like, you know, tossing him the ball, and he was hitting it in the backyard.
Tennis ball.
Yeah, tennis ball, just in your backyard, standing like 7-8
feet
from.
Right. And you were hanging muffins out over the plate.
Right, and underhand for that matter. I was throwing the ball underhand, and then I turned away for what was probably not more than 36 seconds.
Oh no, it was first pitch. I got him.
Yeah, and you had, and I didn't even know that. Oh, hey, I was gonna, and you said, "Oh, this is great. I'm gonna give Jack a couple of pitches." And first pitch, what happened?
It got away on me.
But first off, you went right to the overhand, which was bold. Yeah. The kid was barely 5. Okay. I think he just turned 5.
Okay.
And you went overhand, which is fine. Again, if you threw it easy, he'd probably be able to make contact. But you gave it a little bit of gas. And where did it catch him?
Directly in the larynx. Yes.
And his look on his face, like you completely, I don't know, you
dispirited the kid.
Yeah, you crushed his soul. He was so like he was
I
so
disagree
happy
because he's playing this year.
Yeah,
he I was disagree. So if I had crushed his soul, he would not have played.
And just the scream of pain. Like first pitch, if it was like the 8th pitch, maybe you would have bought yourself a little bit of like I don't Dread. Know leniency. Yeah, but it was first pitch.
It was first pitch, and in all honesty, his toes were on the plate. He was crowding, and that's mine.
And it was, I have to admit, it was awesome. And Jack's not mad at you, but he totally brings it up. He's like, remember when Al, you know, threw that pitch at me and hit me in the throat?
Yeah. You know what the thing is? I couldn't do that if I tried.
No, that's...
Like, asked me to replicate that, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So he's still playing baseball in spite of your throat shot.
That's good. Toughen the kid up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were throat protectors in last ball. They wear masks at the plate, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. For T-ball, do they wear masks for T-ball?
I'll be surprised if they don't.
Yeah.
They have the full mask and all that. Like, what? Come on now.
So anyways, you better hold on to your spot tightly because, the throat guy is coming for your spot.
You have to get him a cup then.
Okay.
That's most important. No, not because I'm playing.
Right.
Or playing against him. I mean, like, that's the one that I don't care about the mask. He shouldn't wear that, but he should, yeah. Protective cup, definitely.
Protect his nether regions.
What number is he going to wear?
I don't know. We haven't gotten that far.
Tell him to wear the number of his hero and get number 8.
Is that your number?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Carl Yastrzemski, which he's probably a big fan of.
Right.
All right. Photo challenge this week. Fill the frame. Last week, we did negative space with Amber. And this week, so we went the opposite. It just went the opposite way and went with fill the frame. So let's have a look at those.
Okay.
I saw your wife post this picture to Facebook 2 days ago or something like that, or yesterday. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I figure you would see it.
But she didn't mention it. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's going to be the challenge photo.
That's exactly what that is. And like I just mentioned, this is in the... Oh, let's talk about mine first because I finished talking about the setup and everything, so we can skip past that. So this is just out front of my house with the sun bouncing off the wall and coming back. And so it's warm on the one side of her face, and that's the reflection of the sunset light. And then it's a bluer light on camera left because, again, she is in the shade, so it is a bluer light at this time of year. So that, position her, take the shot, and voila, 70 to 200 lens zoomed in. So standing far away, zoomed in. So this is... at the long end of that zoom range. I don't know exactly what the focal length is, but I'm going to say pretty close to 200. And that's it. That's one and done. I think I took 5 shots, and I don't remember if this is the first or the last, but it was the best smile and the head tilt that I like, and that straight out of camera.
Catch lights.
Yeah, it got the nice catch lights, which again, because my wife was probably the third person that I photographed here, so I had figured out exactly where the angle needed to be to get the catch lights where I wanted, and that's it, done. So the catch lights, when you actually look close, is actually the sky with, you know, a bit of, like, I really do like the catch lights. You don't see it from, you know, looking at it from just on your screen from afar, but when you zoom in, it's a very nice catch light.
Yeah, I thought you lit this.
Did not.
Yeah. No. But up until we started the show, and then I realized once you started explaining to me that you did not light it, then I followed along.
Yeah. And the shrubs in the background are just green shrubs. But again, with that lens at that focal length, even though they're only probably, I don't know, 40 feet behind her, are completely melted away, which again I really liked in this image. Like, I liked the green of her eyes mixed with that green completely out of focus background.
So you didn't want like the sort of the shrubs in focus and maybe your neighbor's house and his you know, his dirty car and stuff like
right didn't want any of that. So this was angled to avoid that, and that's where the beauty of the positive space or the fill the frame comes in, is that you know, when you zoom in this much, you can really control how out of focus you want that background to be.
Yes,
especially with a long lens like this, right? The long lens helps.
Absolutely. And that's guess what the topic is this week. It's actually fill the frame, and that's we'll talk a little bit about that. Bam, love this one. This is gonna be, I hope to see a lot more photos of like just like random neighbors. Hey, come over here.
yeah, you know? maybe. I don't know if I'm really up to that task, but...
This is a great spot. No, just because it's so convenient, and you have your, you know, when your neighbors happen to be walking by and you're outside. And I like the left side of her hair. It's got that sort of the
orangey red glow. Yeah, I love that. That was the part immediately to me that stuck out, and that's what I liked, because I like to see, because that, again, that's hard to reproduce with natural light. Like, it's hard to get this spot where you can get that sort of, I don't know if you call that rim lighting or not, it's kind of side lighting, but where you get that nice hair light to actually happen naturally is awesome. I love it. And I knew as second I showed this picture to my wife, she's like, I want that as my new profile picture. To me, that's for me, that's the measure of a photo that's good, when the person who the photo's of, and my wife now has become a little bit critical because she's got a zillion pictures taken of her, like she, when she loves a photo of herself, I know it's a good photo.
And it's very flattering light because most people don't know this, but your wife is 64 years old.
Yes. Yeah. So really, it really kind of like a soft light, like that really helps with, you know, any of the little lines. Of course, she doesn't have many, but, you know, any of the little lines definitely are it's a, it, you're, like you say, it's a flattering light. It's a
She's
very
not 64.
Soft light. She's not. She's not 64.
Somehow that will be misinterpreted as a an insult.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But however.
All right. Well, let's hit your photo.
Awesome. All right. Well, here is here's my son again.
Oh, I thought this was your grandpa.
No. No.
I looked at this photo and I said, your son is, he's an old man. He is an old man.
Because
he's
of what?
He just, it's the shirt, it's the expression, it's the hair. He's like some babies are like, again, it's sort of have that look sometimes of being
the
much
Benjamin
older.
Button.
Yeah. This is the Benjamin Button.
Wow. Told,
and it's partly the expression. Like, he doesn't normally, like, when you look at the backpack photo, he doesn't look like an old man. But this photo, and I think it's because of the shirt, too. Like, it's an old man shirt mixed with that little...
No, it's a lumberjack shirt.
Yeah, it's an old man shirt. And
no,
and
this is, this shirt says Pearl Jam fan.
Says Paul Bunyan. It's the hair too. Like, the hair's so prominent in this photo because usually we don't see a ton of close-ups of your kid, but it's the expression brings out like the sort of wrinkled forehead mixed with that funny, you know, puff of hair on top. It's totally an old man.
No, he's right. He's only one, but he still remembers when stuff cost a nickel and racism was cool.
Oh man. And I didn't even say anything, but my first instinct was like, oh my God, that's an old man. And then I showed it to my wife, did not lead her. I just said, what do you think? She's like, he looks like an old man. So
I didn't see that. I just see crybaby.
Yeah, no, the cry, it's such a great expression. And I really like this photo, and you have to keep this for him because when he's 5 or 6, this photo was awesome for him in retrospect. But that the lips, oh, it's such a great photo, and yeah, totally looks like an old man. So
yeah, what had happened was is you know, I keep my 5D Classic with the 85mm pretty much handy, you know, so I can just run and grab it whenever I see nice light, like, and around the house.
Yeah,
you know, and for a long time, remember I told you, you know, we were getting a lot of really nice window light, and we had clouds for quite some time, but then the sun came out the other day, and just coincidentally, we finally got our new drapes. And so we had our new drapes are these kind of relatively translucent white drapes.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you pull those in front of direct sunlight, it creates this awesome softbox.
Okay.
So this window light, you know, when is phenomenal. And so that this actually took place. Like, while I was home with him the other day, it was just me and him, and all of a sudden, boom, this light comes out, and I said, all right, I know it's your nap time, but here we go. And so I put him down in front of this light, and this was shot number one.
Yeah.
I did end up taking like 20 or so photos. And other ones were, you know, good. He smiled. He had the cute, his normal cute, you know, expressions and playing along. But this is the first one he was not into it.
Right.
And I did not care. I loved how expressive he was and how, you know, this.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately, it's the same deal. Like, you know, the background, it was just kind of, you know, the messy living room that I hadn't cleaned up yet. And, you know, my daughter had probably strewn all of her toys all over the place, but didn't need to see that.
Yeah.
So, moved in close.
Right. No,
you know, and this benefits. If this was a big wide shot of him crying, you probably wouldn't, like, if it was a super wide shot of him crying in front of a giant red wall, probably wouldn't have the same impact.
Right.
So...
Yeah, no, this is a great opportunity for a headshot. So, no, I really like it. And like I say, ask your wife if it reminds her of a great-grandpa or something.
I will ask her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. But the good news is, like, literally seconds after I took this, I gave him something to cry about.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
This week's topic, fill the frame. I can't believe we've never actually specifically talked about this. It's come up.
Yeah, I think we talked about it in a really early episode.
But not, I don't know if like I looked back at all the episodes to double check.
Or maybe it was a blog post of your blog.
Could be.
Because I remember something about like a sandbox and a truck and like examples of two examples. Yes. Like, was that your blog?
Yes, that was the blog.
Wow, I'm embarrassed that I read your blog.
It was you and that other guy. My dad.
And yeah. We debated over how much of the truck should be in the sandbox.
Right.
No.
Right.
We didn't.
So that's why I look back and I don't remember. Like, I mean, I know it's been hinted at, talked around, but we never really attacked it and said, hey, let's fill the frame. And what does that mean? So let's talk a little bit about fill the frame. What is it? What does it mean?
I don't know. Fill the frame. It seems self-explanatory. Is it any more complicated than make your subject obvious focal point in the image? So not a lot of extra stuff in the image.
It is way more complicated than that.
Oh
no! Just kidding. You nailed it.
Okay.
It's essentially what it is. It's just like it's. This is one of the first tips I give novice photographers. Like I mean, complete novices. If you're just standing, like if you have a point and shoot or an iPhone or a DSLR, you see this so often. You know, somebody taking like, oh yeah, here's a super wide picture that doesn't need to be wide,
mm-hmm.
all the time. So my first thing is, hey, fill the frame with like use the whole frame with for what you want to shoot. You know, you don't care about the rest of it. Shoot this. Like you say, get rid of extraneous objects. You don't need those there. So how do you do that? Fill the frame.
Right.
You know, clearly define your subject. Now, I think this is one of the first sort of stages of going from complete novice to less novice. Better photographer. This is kind of one of the first things that you do. And I think going then to negative space is a much more advanced. So we probably should have done this last week and then done, you know, led into the negative space. But here we are. So we're trying to clearly define our subject or subjects. Maybe you have like when you took your pictures of your folks together,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you have two subjects, but you basically still, you know, filled the frame with them.
Yeah. I did one of my father and my daughter and sort of again in tight, just really kind of faces, sort of. Yeah.
And that's great. It really, really brings people into the, you know, to your dad and your daughter. I mean, brings in like their relationship and the emotions and the expressions that they have. It really brings you in to that, mm-hmm. you know, and everything else, like, you know, your neighbor's car with the wash me scribbled into the window, just not really important.
Right.
So get rid of that. Now, if you're listening to episode 217 of our show, you could already be doing this. Yes. Here's what I would do. Teach this to your friends. Just randomly, out of nowhere, at a dinner party. No, but if someone has their camera out or with their iPhone or whatever, which everybody does, you know, fill the frame with the dinner you're about to eat and tweet. You know, but tell your friends, hey, listen, yeah, move in on this. That's, you'll learn more by teaching your friends how to do it.
And how much filling is good before you're overfilling, before your cuff spilleth over?
For me... That's a good question. It depends. Because for me, it's a situation of what's your minimum focal distance? Like with the shot of my son, this is how I got the shot of my son. This is how I got focused properly. Is I focused the camera as close as the 85 will focus.
Okay.
Which I've mentioned on the show many times. What the minimum focal distance is, and I've always, you know, said it wrong. So I'm going to reach down and get my camera.
It says on it, right?
Yeah, and tell you that you can focus to less than 3 feet, so 0.85 meters, so whatever that, 85 centimeters, mm-hmm. is your minimum focal. Closer than that, out of focus.
Right.
That's how that's going to go. So what I did with this one is I shot it at a 1.8 or an f2 or something like that. Maybe a 2.8. I'm not sure now. And basically focus it to the minimum focal distance, and I just physically moved my camera Because focusing and recomposing, I would have missed this shot.
Mm-hmm.
He was moving, and so I would move in and out ever so slightly until it looked in focus in the viewfinder, and I would then snap the photo. I would not have to focus. Just by me moving the camera would actually focus my son.
Mm.
You understand that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do. So for me, this was basically, I think I might have cropped this a little bit in addition to that, to what I shot in camera, just to get it, you know, fill the frame entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, I don't think you can go too close. I mean, it depends. As long as we still know what's going on, what the subject is, then go as close as you want. That's the best part. There's really no rules. But when do you do this? Like, when do you think automatically, oh man, I am going to fill the frame? Because the answer isn't always do it. Sometimes you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. When do you do it?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I have a precise answer to that.
Okay, let me rephrase this. Actually, I'm going to phrase it the exact same, but make sure it's clear. When do you, Adam, do it?
I do it for portraits.
Okay.
I want the subject of the photo to be clear, and so, like, you know, for sure. In portraits, I want the clear sort of direction of the photo to be to the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make that the bulk of the image. So I, generally speaking, if I'm shooting a portrait, I'm thinking of something that's probably going to be an 8x10 crop, and I want their face to be, you know, fill the bulk of that frame. And so where I cut that off, you know, sometimes a little bit arbitrary depending on you know, what they're wearing, or the light, or the tilt of their head, or, again, a number of variables, but the face is going to fill the bulk of the frame.
Right.
As far as shooting other photos, I don't know that in my head that I have always kind of a recipe. It's again, it's based on probably what I see in the image and what I like about the item I'm going to photograph. So if there's something that's very prominent that I want to feature, obviously I want that to be very prominent in the photo.
I find, I mean, besides the controlled situation like that, is I find a lot of times for me it's like a stopgap thing where it's like, oh man, like this is a great image, but the background's terrible.
Okay.
So yeah. I can't control the background. You know, I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to make sure it's not even in the shot.
Right. I see.
Or maybe you're out at the playground at, you know, noon on a Tuesday, and the light is just really uneven. So you got like bright splotches here, really shadows over there. And just by filling the frame, you basically reduce the bad light.
Right.
Now, you don't eliminate it. You might still need to look for open shade or whatever it is. But just by having a really inclusive shot, you're more likely to include problem areas.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a definitely a part of the recipe. And I think it's mixed with that. But you might have good light in a spot and a decent background and still choose to fill your frame because of something that you want to feature prominently. Right.
That's the situation you're talking about with controlled situation with a portrait. So,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's for sure. Like, that's the best of times when you get to decide how you want to shoot that. Like, hey, I want to shoot it wide, or I can shoot it tight, whatever I want to do. Aside from the fact that choice can be crippling, like sometimes you get the best images when you're kind of painted into a corner.
Right.
But if you know what you want and have that option, that's fantastic. But I find that when I'm in these tough situations, I tend to move in close and just say, okay, that's it. You know, like, I'm like, or, you know, you're at the playground, you don't want a million other kids in your photo, so, you know, it's a close-up of your kid. It's head and shoulders on a certain, you know, apparatus that they're on.
Right.
But you don't need to see the whole thing. You don't need to see their feet. You just want to see the look on their face as they try to navigate the, you know, the net on the back of the fishing boat thing.
Right.
At the Stevenson Park. Very, very local reference.
Yes.
You know, I'm guessing they don't have those in Winnipeg, the fishing boats, but they do have that in Stevenson, so... So that's always a factor for me. I mean, there are times too, like just like you, when I do a headshot and I go, yeah, I definitely want, you know, head and shoulders, or even like, you know, with my son here, I had other photos that looked pretty good. But this one in tight really made it. So
right.
That's why I chose that. But you mentioned something else really interesting, just by accident.
Okay.
But about your background and your wife's photo, and the same with the one in you know with my son is that yeah, you don't include much background as it is. You're already cropping, you're already pulling in tight.
Yeah.
But the background that you do include is just gone. You know, so like if you do have a bunch of stuff, and I did, there was a bunch of stuff on the floor, but you know, behind them and stuff like that, it's out of focus now.
Right.
So if you're doing it correctly, then you're going to blur, whatever little background is left is going to be blurred and gone. What do I mean by doing it correctly?
I'm not sure.
If you're going in tight on your subject,
yeah.
What is the correct way to do that?
I'm still not sure where you're going.
You already answered the question like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, just repeat my answer from then.
Back up, long lens.
Oh, okay, that's where you're going. Sorry.
If
okay.
you go, if you move in close, if you fill the frame with a wide-angle lens, if you're shooting a person, first of all, they're going to be distorted. But second of all, your background, even though you eliminate the background and maybe crop it out, you're probably still going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a distracting background, this you're not really doing all that you can. And so you want to shoot with a longer lens and ideally, you know, open up the aperture as wide as you can to now basically fill the frame with just your subject and none of the background.
Correct.
Yeah. There you go. There are challenges, though. I mean, like if you fill the frame, you do eliminate context. You know, but that like that's your goal. Your goal is to eliminate context generally, but you're going to shift the entire focus to the subject.
Yes,
which is good. I mean, again, if that's what you want, mission accomplished. You know. On the other.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's interesting looking at your photo and my photo and the background sort of blur, right? Mm-hmm. Looks very, very similar. Obviously, the color is different, but there's, you know, there's just a very nice kind of melting away bokeh on both mm-hmm. of them that, you know, typically with the 85 and the 70-200, they look often quite different, the bokeh.
Yes.
And in these two examples, I guess because they're the maximum out of focus, there's almost nothing visible at all that they look very similar. And so I'm used to looking at my 70-200 photos and my 85 mil photos and having them appear quite different looking
right.
In terms of the background blur. And yeah, that theory's out the window looking at these two photos.
Well, there are subtle differences. Like look at your photo, your wife's eyes, and you know the ear is almost in focus.
Right.
Not quite, but it's pretty close. The earring a little bit soft. Then look at my son's ears.
Yeah, they're way out of focus.
They fall off quickly. But remember, I mean, I am shooting at f/1.8. You're shooting at an f/4. f/5.6.
I'm shooting at f/4. I think.
Right, and so you know there is. I mean, you're also compressing, sort of visually compressing the image by shooting at 200 and being further back. The perspective is the relative perspective. I'm not putting it the right way, but basically the relative distance between your wife's ear and nose and lens is much smaller
right.
than with mine. But the good part, like what's really cool to me is that I think if we had just basically posted these pictures, I think maybe you can tell that mine was inside. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can.
I mean, I think we can because we've talked about it and you know. And I mean, could it be open shade? Maybe, you know, I don't know. But I don't think yours and mine look wildly different just from the background.
No, they don't.
So that's a great, you know, a great example of what you can do by filling the frame. We had one of our listeners, Mike, posted a picture of his daughter playing with the hockey mask.
Yes, I made comment on it.
And yeah, and a really good photo. And what I liked about it is that, you know, like oftentimes you think in that photo, hey, this is my daughter in her hockey outfit.
This is on our Facebook site. So if any of the listeners are wondering what we're talking about,
yeah, no, she's wearing her hockey equipment, and you'd think, you know, well, I want to show that she's, you know, playing hockey, so I want some context. Maybe I want the rink. Maybe I want, you know, the scoreboard and a wide shot of her. The mask does it
yes.
for me.
Yes.
You know, it's all you need. Great. You know, and so this is a great, great example of how a fill the frame really can work in your favor. So give it a try.
Okay.
Good news is, like, the sky, like you mentioned, the sky is the limit. You know, you can experiment with what you like, but don't completely disregard the rule of thirds.
Right.
You can. Like my son's eyes are just a little bit below the one-third mark.
Yeah.
And I tried cropping it so that they were right bang on. Didn't like it. Something about the image didn't, like, I needed to see the very top of his head, even though it's out of focus. For some reason, it just, this balance is more sort of off-putting than the other one. Looking at your shot, I don't think your wife's eyes are on that third.
No, they're a little bit, they're in between third and half.
Totally fine. There's like I like the crop on the top of the hair gone. Don't need it, and there's enough room below the chin that it's you know, very comfortable. So again, this is not. I would never look at this and go, "Why, flouting the rule of thirds, Adam?" You know, wouldn't even come up.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't disregard it if you like. Sometimes, but keep it in mind because sometimes it can really work in your favor. There's been other shots that I have done. I think my last week, I forget now, I think last week's, I was very careful about where my son was in the photo in reference to the rule of thirds. And a lot of the other photos in the session that I ended up not posting of the crybaby, I really went with it. His eyes are right on there and it looks perfect. But for this one, no. So keep that in mind.
Okay, I will.
Because next week's challenge is rule of thirds.
Yay!
There you go.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
I'm gonna go out and shoot that right after we finish podcast. No, I'm not. No,
I will not. I will also do it 10 minutes before we record next week's show. Just like you.
Yeah.
No, hopefully not. Hopefully I'll get it done ahead of time. Websites, where can people find your stuff, Adam?
AdamSchwartz.ca and on Facebook sometimes. I probably will post a few photos from the session, the 10-minute session that we spoke of earlier where I just took a bunch of headshots of different people in my family just to show how easy it can be. And there was really no post-production time spent at all other than just the color kind of correction because I shoot in auto white balance almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I tweak the color balance and then that's all that I had to do. So
I look forward to seeing that post because that is a takeaway that people can really sink their teeth into without knowing much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I encourage other people, like we've had more and more response to people posting things on our Facebook page, lots of people making comments about other people's photos. And so that's great. That's a big part of what we want to, you know, have people doing is just the crowd participation.
Yes. And not to discourage anybody because, as I mentioned, doing the painting and the putting in lighting and stuff like that kind of has been cutting into my time. I want to respond to everybody and make sure, hey, we appreciate that you're posting and make sure I engage with everybody. But it's been a busy couple of weeks. And so just because I don't get to it right away, please don't take that personally.
Sometimes I comment. So
yeah.
there's always the possibility that if the great Attridge doesn't make a comment that I might respond. So
yeah. So but
post your stuff anyways. And I will say nice things.
Well,
sometimes.
Yes, or get really defensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, that's great. You check my stuff out at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com where you can find all the links to everything we just talked about. That's it.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.